Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk, and it is the Jay Layman Hour, recapping the Illinois football season. Of course, have to go back to this past Saturday and discuss a big disappointment, Jay, a gut punch, losing to Northwestern 45-43. But before we get to all that and some of the things that made you queasy, how was the Thanksgiving? Did you enjoy it with the family? How was the turkey?
Well, the turkey was good. Didn't make me queasy, but I'll tell you what, the football I watched did.
Yeah.
So it was a good Thanksgiving, but man, got to finish that season better than we did. That's what's brutal for me right now. And just being 5-7, you know, I'll take Brett's quote 2 years ago. I didn't come here to be 5-7. Well, in year three, we're 5-7. And we can say what we want about, oh, it was close, or this call, or that call. But the reality is we're 5-7, and that's a bitter pill to swallow in year three, I think.
As you kind of boil it down, just simplistically, what is the overall feeling? The loss to Northwestern was blank.
Not surprising.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just the way it went down, because it was the same things that happened all year long. You're not going to win many games giving up over 40 to Indiana and over 40 to Northwestern. These are not dynamic offenses. Surely they're better than they were in September, but they are not dynamic offenses. But the biggest thing we look across the spectrum of Illinois football, plus 14 in the turnover margin in 2022, minus 8 in the turnover margin in 2023. That's a swing of 22 turnovers, guys. That's about two a game, just under two a game. Think about that. If we're plus 14 as opposed to negative 8, how many more wins does that add up to? Probably two or three at least, right? And so I think turnovers in college football, whether you talk Vegas, whether you talk to anybody, it's the number one indicator of success. Now, a lot of things cause turnovers. Great defensive play, great defensive line play, pressure on the quarterback, great DB play, and of course, a veteran quarterback go into that turnover margin. But that was the issue this year. Obviously, we had issues on the offensive line, and then later in the season, it was more the defensive backfield. Just struggled all around.
On the note of turnovers, John Paddock threw a couple of interceptions. Isaiah had a fumble. Karnick Wiltshire had a pretty backbreaking fumble of a kickoff that allowed Northwestern to get two touchdowns in a span of like 9 seconds
or something ridiculous
like that. But as you kind of break down each one of those, how do you feel like John Paddock played? It felt like he missed some throws, obviously had a couple of mistakes. Then how big were those other fumbles?
Well, the funny thing is they still had a chance to win. After Paddock's interception, I mean, I think there was a shot of him hanging his head on the bench and Isaiah Adams comes and cheers him up. And Northwestern was so inept, they couldn't even get a field goal, one, just to close out the game. And then they punt it into the end zone from like the 31. That might have been the worst game management we've seen yet. And we still can't pay it off. I give Paddock credit. He leads the team down again, right? It's totally a different offense under Paddock, though. They've been slinging all over, partially because they don't have good running backs. I'm sorry. They don't have healthy running backs. Reggie Love is good, but they only have one running back. Ayn Loffrey did play a little bit. I don't think he was 100%. They're so shallow at running back. They don't have Caden Fagan. So they say, hey, we're going to air it out. I know people might not agree with that. I thought they were at least entertaining to watch offensively the last three or four games. I was like, I could get used to this. I thought Isaiah Williams, although he had some fumble issues, touches the ball a lot. That was a crucial fumble and a drop pass as well in the end zone. Casey Washington lit it up. Pat Bryant, you never know which Pat Bryant's going to show up. He can look like an all Big Ten receiver some games, and other games you're like, is Pat Bryant starting or is he playing? You know, so I think there were some positives to take as far as Paddock leading the offense. He did miss some throws. He doesn't run as much as Altmyer. But for what we have, guys, he's the best we could do with where our offense was at from a protection standpoint and from the run game standpoint.
What do you think the key is to building off the second half of the season offensively into next year with Luke Altmyer?
Well, I think we saw a lot of the RPO stuff that we saw with UTSA, right? We saw a lot of, hey, an RPO, for you guys who don't know, run-pass option. They can run the ball, they can pass the ball, and just banging that slant to Pat Bryant and Casey Washington, who, you know, say what you want about their faults, pretty darn good slant runners, and Casey Washington pretty darn good on the back shoulder fade. And so I give him a lot of credit on that. We also saw a lot of quick outs in the Northwestern and Iowa game that we saw a lot of. We saw a lot of that with UTSA. So we saw a lot of the passing game concepts, kind of the up-tempo, less of the running. I don't think that's who Brett wants to be long-term, but I think with his running back situation, that's where he was. I thought Barry Lenny got much better as the season progressed. And when we needed to score late in games, oftentimes we did. We oftentimes came back with a drive to either go ahead or to win the game or to tie up. I think we could have had a better two-point play. We can talk about the defensive holding or the DPI or whatever they're going to call it. You know,
definitely should have been holding.
It was definitely defensive holding. I mean, you could see it beforehand. Whether Brett saw that in real time or not, I don't know. But it was probably it was defensive holding. I believed it was. But again, you run into John Paddock again. One of the weaknesses, when he throws into the interior of the defense, he has a chance to get stuff batted down. So two games in a row, you lost a game based on a batted pass. That's bad. That's brutal, right? And so I think they wanted to go the flat route to get, you know, a throwing lane. They took that away from, as everybody throws the flat to the right in the red zone. I always say you could put a statue in the flat to the right in the red zone and somebody's going to hit it. It's going to knock down four balls by itself. I mean, that'd make four tackles, right? So I wish they had a little better two-point play and wish it went out different, but it is what it is, guys. That play certainly didn't decide the game.
Kind of a quick aside, Jay, before we focus more on that big picture going forward offensively, I wondered if Brett would do kind of the reverse Paddock and put Altmyer out there on that final drive, just because it seemed like momentum was being lost offensively. He obviously doesn't. Illinois goes on the field, and it works out, I mean, at least as much as it could until the failed two-pointer, but I don't know. I wonder how Luke's feeling right now, because a guy who was the starter, we talked about it. I didn't question the decision going into Iowa. I thought that was the right choice. Even I think last Monday you and I talked about it. Lon was very much opposed. When you put up 43, I don't think that was the difference in the game. But Altmyer's probably got to be disappointed as a guy who was a starter. You're one win away with right. Two games to play that he was cleared for, and he doesn't get a chance to go out there.
I think he's disappointed. I think if there was going to be a shift, I thought it was going to be at halftime. They didn't play that well offensively the first half. Mm-hmm. Remember, they had the Miles Scott pick six to kind of get him within a full touchdown, right? And so I thought if there was going to be a switch, it would be at halftime, because I thought Illinois should have been more dynamic offensively, at least finishing stuff off. There was a turnover issue early, and thought, okay, they might make a switch. They stuck with Paddock. I don't think Paddock was the reason, like you said, we lost the game. Mm-hmm. I think defensively, we can't cover anything. Right? I mean, like if I was cold at night, I would not use them to cover me, right? That's how bad it was right now. We had there's been tons of injuries, right? But yeah. But it seems like there's a glaring wound in Illinois football, and it just gets exposed by these teams, whether it was the offensive line the first six games or our DBs the last three or four games. It has been exposed. And do I think some of these guys are actually good players? I think Zach Tobe's going to be good. I think Xavier Scott is good, got banged up. I think Matthew Bailey is good, didn't play. I think Miles Scott could be good, not great right now. I think McCantos can be decent. I think Taz needs to play better. And the question we got to ask ourselves is the same question that Brett has been saying in post-game press conferences. Can our guys do what they're asking them to do? And I would say no. Your DBs cannot do the defense you're asking them to do. Hence, the defensive pass interferences. Since Donovan McCulley mossing everyone left and right in the Indiana game, Cam Johnson and Bryce Kurtz looking like superstar wide receivers when they are not, Ben Bryant looking like the second coming of, you know, Trevor Siemian out there. I mean, we got lots of different things going on, and I don't know if they can do that. So if they can't play man-to-man, we got to do something different. We got to give them some help, right? Xavier Scott went out. That didn't help us at all. We were struggling on a lot of different fronts, but mostly on the defensive backfield front, we couldn't cover anybody. The big question you guys asked me in August is, can this defense be like it was last year? No. The emphatic answer is no. It can't be. They can't run the same defense, right? Jeremy Warner brought up a good point. You know, and Brett, and off of Brett's comment of maybe people are getting used to this defense after 3 years. I mean, last year I heard Ryan Walters in his press conference say, "I'm the best defensive coordinator in the country." Numbers back that up. So what do the numbers back up right now for Purdue?
Yeah.
Not much.
Yeah.
Right? So we're having
it's
a couple,
interesting.
We have a couple of issues. Interesting is a good word to use.
Because when Walters takes the job at Purdue, and then obviously he's recruiting against Illinois, he's talking about it's my system. I was the one that changed the defense. And then Brett says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! No, actually, when you were at Missouri, there were some things that I didn't like, and so it was actually my system that I helped you build at Illinois. Now nobody wants to own the system because they're towards the bottom of the Big Ten. It's an outdated system.
It's like a plague.
That's actually what we need to change.
It's a plague, guys. It was Brett's system. Then it was Ryan's system. Now it's nobody's. Now it's nobody's system. Nobody's taking it. It's something that Aaron Henry's system, right? No, you're right. It's funny. As my father told me, success has 1,000 fathers and failure is an orphan, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so nobody wants to take credit for blame for it, but something's got to change, guys.
I'll let Kyle jump back in here in a second, but I want to follow up on, there's two ways to go here. The secondary, which I've been banging the table for a long time, it didn't feel like they did a very good job at all of addressing that in the portal. Felt like that should have been evaluated as a big opportunity to say, hey, we just had Devin Witherspoon, we just had Kwan, we had Sidney. Let's go out and covet some impact guys or one or two to sell that. I didn't feel like they did that well enough, obviously, at least executed it with those type of players. And then you hit on also the scheme and whether Aaron Henry could have or should have adjusted. So let's go with the talent in the backfield. How big of a mistake was it now that we have some closure on this season,
sure,
not going to the secondary, and how much do they need to add this offseason?
Well, you hit on it. It's either X's and O's or Jimmy's and Joe's, coaching or players, right? So let's talk about the players. I mean, I thought Nakari Harper gave you some good minutes. Clayton Bush gave you some good minutes. But they probably played way more than you probably wanted them to. Mm-hmm. And we certainly didn't get the help at corner that we needed. I think that was the big one, right? I think safeties, they had kind of a platoon going on. Miles Scott had the starting spot early. Clayton Bush filled in, probably the best at run support, not as good in pass support. Harper, kind of a mix of all of it. Xavier Scott's the guy that played all three positions, nickel, corner, and safety, but they kept putting him, where they needed him most and couldn't get any continuity, right? So I think on all this fronts, yes, we did need more help on the back end, especially once Matthew Bailey went out. Now, we knew going in Matthew Bailey wasn't 100% healthy. He had the foot injury, I think, from the fall. From the spring, we needed help. We didn't get it. Taz didn't play as well as you'd like Taz to play to be that shutdown corner. Miles Strain didn't play as well. Tyler Strain didn't play as well as you'd want him to play. I think Zach Toby's going to be good. I don't think he's great right now, right? So we needed more help. If we're not going to get more help, we certainly can't play man-to-man defense. We just were not good enough at man-to-man defense. Hence, you give up over 40 to Indiana. Hence, you give up over 40 Northwestern. Do I think that Aaron Henry is going to be – do I think he's a good coach? Yes. Do I think he's a good recruiter? Yes. Do I think he had to learn a lot on the job of being a D coordinator? Yes. And I think that's why it's disappointing from a defensive perspective. There's no way that you can look. There's only one stat that really matters in offense and defense. I tell this all the time. And that's scoring defense and scoring offense. What is the points you give up? And that, all that stuff is dictated by, you can say, about third down, but it all comes down to scoring points. And if you look at this defense and just look at the numbers and say, this is your defense for the last 12 games. Are you happy? Are you sad? I guarantee you they're very disappointed. So I'm disappointed too, because they did not play at the level they needed to play to be a Big Ten bowl team. I mean, we had some of the text lines over here saying, Illinois doesn't belong in a bowl game. I think that's Benny, right? Benny says, "Does to go to bowl. The teams with 5 wins line won't be one. The Gophers will get one. I still hope the Buckeyes." He just goes on to different things about different things. But I don't know if we have a chance to go to bowl or not with the academic rating. Do we? I'm not really sure there.
I don't believe so. I haven't heard.
I think they had 1-5-7 spot, and of course, it's Minnesota that got it to go to a bowl
awesome.
Game. That's what I saw.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, before we do get to the sponsors, catch a break, I want to ask that. Benny goes on and says, Bielema needs to fire Aaron Henry. He also throws Barry Lunny in there. I think that we've liked what we saw from Barry Lunny down the stretch of this season in particular, second half of the year and on. But what do you say? Because Twitter was pretty noisy, as it gets to do. I mean, it's emotional after a loss, especially one that meant that much in terms of bowl game or not, about Aaron Henry. I guess one thing I would say, Jay, before I kick it to you, is that I'm a little surprised when you have the mind of Brett Bielema, who's very experienced, when you have Jim Leonard around all week long. I would think that would help to ease the transition, and then if there were schematic issues, that those guys would be able to say to help him along and be able to put them in a better situation, although I do think that the cornerback position in particular was very flawed. So what do you think, or what do you say to those people that say Aaron Henry's out of, you know, over his skis, he's out of his league? What do you say to that based on a one-year sample?
First, I think it's a little premature. Second, I think there's four different defensive coordinators on staff. Andy Boone was a defensive coordinator. Brett Bielema was D coordinator at K-State and Wisconsin. Jim Leonard, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if you know, Lincoln Riley called Jim Leonard up to be his DC at USC. I wouldn't be
said that before.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. Like people say these things like, there's some good defensive minds. It wasn't just Aaron Henry making that defensive game plan, okay? Was he calling the plays during the game? Yeah. Was he getting feedback from Brett? I'm 100% sure he was. So they didn't play as well as they could have. I think that they've been, I think the whole league kind of figured out the Purdue-Illinois defense. And because Purdue had some good defensive linemen. Scorton, you know, the transfer, he led the league in sacks. Johnny Newton's probably the best defensive lineman in the league. They had good players up front. They just couldn't cover anybody. Jeff Tedford exposed Purdue from week one for 400 yards passing and one at Ross-Ade Stadium. Just like Toledo exposed us in week one, and we're lucky we got away with a win. I will say Brett was right. They could run the table, and they did run the table. I think they're 11-1 going to the MAC championship. So that's probably one of our best wins of the year. And I'll go back to Brett's statement. Were we asking these players to do something they just simply couldn't do at this point in their career? I'm one of those guys that was asked to do something he couldn't do as a freshman and sophomore. Hence, I got beat 63-10 by Penn State on national TV in 2005. Hey, Jay, tackle Michael Robinson. I couldn't tackle Michael Robinson. I got blown up, right? Sometimes you're just not ready to play, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so, you know, and I get it. Yeah, we got lots of people. We have Big Def chiming in a lot today. He's a common texter talking about defensive head coach presided over one of the conference's worst defenses and the conference's second most penalized team with the most penalty yardage in the Big Ten, all with the slogan tough, smart, and dependable. He's obviously pretty ticked off, right? And the penalties were an issue. And I would say this about penalties, and I just keep going on and on. Let me sneak the sponsors in before I talk about penalties, which is Iroquois Federal, guys. You got to go to Iroquois Federal for all your lending needs. Mark McHale, Bob Guido, Brenda Crane, Ryan Lowy, they are all you need for all your lending needs, not only for your home mortgages, but for your commercial lines of credit, commercial loans, Iroquois Federal in Savoy and Champaign. Kyle Lewis, Kyle at IPG Insurance, Kyle at IPGINS.com. Auto, home, life, habitational, he's my personal insurance agent. Would you email Kyle now at Kyle@IPGINS.com and tell him Jay sent you. And of course, Our guy, Donnie at Long Branch, he's back in, guys. Long Branch Steakhouse is open. It was closed last week for Thanksgiving. Donnie's healthy. Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 9. Guys, come for the fried pickles, stay for the steak. You got to try the fried pickles. We had a texter say they love the fried pickles. You text in to say you like fried pickles and you go to Long Branch, maybe Donnie will give you a free fried pickle if you text in and come in. Donnie, we're going to work on Donnie for that. But let me get back to why we had penalties. And now I'm going on 5 straight minutes of talking. So, Kyle, everybody hang in there. I think you have less penalties. I know you have less penalties when you play from ahead. You have less injuries when you play from ahead. Hence, Bama never gets anybody hurt. Georgia never seems to get anybody hurt. You're playing from behind. You're straining more. You're getting more penalties, and you're throwing the ball more. When you throw the ball, more penalties happen. And because there's holding, there is more false starts. And we had to play from behind a lot. And hence, I think that's why we had a lot of penalties.
If you got questions for Jay, hit us up on the U of I Atlanta Link text line, 217-359-2255. We've got to catch a break. We'll talk more big picture. Where does Illinois go from here? What are the big priorities in the offseason? Anything that you want us to hit on the U of I Atlanta Link text line? We'll catch a break. We'll return. This is The Drive.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call Two Men and a Truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, Two Men and a Truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com. Two Men and a Truck.
truck. You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana. Starting it over is what we do
at Max Twin City Recycling. Make this holiday season truly magical. See Champaign-Urbana Ballet's The Nutcracker, November 30th through December 3rd. Presented in partnership with Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, Area-Wide Technologies, Bill Bass Foundation, Stone Ridge Dairy, Two Men in a Truck, and Champaign Ballet Academy. Tickets at the Krannert Center box office or cuballet.com. Experience the unforgettable story, music, and magic of CU Ballet's The Nutcracker.
Hi, it's Stevie J. So I took my mom in to Audubel, owned by Jeff Hanley, who owns 13 locations around Central Illinois. She's had so much trouble hearing for so long. Audubel, A-U-D-I-B-E-L, for hearing. And some of the new technologies, they've got AI now for some of these hearing aids, and they're virtually invisible. It's unbelievable, and it helped my mom. It helped her incredibly. We've been to other places. This is by far the best place I've ever been in for hearing help. Go to audibleteam.com. That's A-U-D-I-B-E-L. If you want more information about Audubel and how Jeff Hanley and his amazing culture and amazing team that they have, go to audibleteam.com. That's A-U-D-I-B-E-L, audibleteam.com. You'll be so happy you found Audubel. Amazing work. They got a location in Champaign. Go to audibleteam.com. That's audibleteam.com.
Like every bank, there's a time every day when we stop making loans. But at Iroquois Federal, we never stop making a difference. Thanks to an amazing team of employees who give back to their local communities all over Central Illinois. From hospital boards and local school programs to Kiwanis and the United Way, Iroquois Federal employees donated more than 1,000 volunteer hours last year. And we'll do it again next year, because the only thing we like more than making a loan is making a difference. Iroquois Federal. Still friendly, still local, still here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Illini fans, taste what's special about Jet's Pizza by ordering any of their specialty pizzas for $5 off. That's right, save $5 on all specialty pizzas like the barbecue chicken pizza, chicken grilled to perfection, premium mozzarella cheese, bacon, red onion, and BBQ sauce. All piled onto Jet's amazing crust made from dough they make fresh every day. There's also their super special all meaty chicken bacon ranch and more, all $5 off. Make your day special and order a Jet's specialty pizza for $5 off.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. It is the Jay Layman Hour, brought to you by some great sponsors. We've had a number of people text in on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Let's start with Dirk. Jay, he mentions, as far as the defense says, 90% of the time we were playing 11 on 10. You cannot play a single high safety 20-plus yards down the field almost every play on defense, not even pictured on the TV. What do you think about that?
A good point by Dirk. And that's kind of been the Ryan Walters staple. We had a super deep safety in which they make a lot of plays, make a lot of interceptions. We had Kendall Smith, Kirby Joseph, Dylan Thienemann, I believe, for Purdue, had like the most tackles for a freshman, had four or five picks, will probably be a freshman All-American. It never blocked, but not really in the picture. And it came back to bit us specifically. We had Rasetic, I believe, in the Iowa game, not able to make the play when Clayton Bush missed the tackle. So that's just kind of what they have, that they want a roof, they call it, over the defense. I'm not a huge fan of having something deep, but I guess I was a huge fan of it last year when it worked.
It's true.
Success has a thousand fathers. Failure's an orphan.
Bill's not happy on the U of I Atlanta Lake text line. He says Saturday was that the only game all year when Taz did not have a personal foul? I don't know that that's – I don't have a stat on that.
He had way too many and way too many defensive pass interference as well.
What do you make of Isaiah's fumble issues? Could that hurt him in terms of next level evaluation?
I think so a little bit, not a ton. He's definitely had ball security issues if we go back historically. I know one of the knock on him is that he has small hands when he was trying to throw the football. I think as a quarterback, that was an issue. But, man, you just can't have your best player in Minnesota and against Northwestern have a fumble like that and drop critical passes. As much as he does, and I know he's a leader and it bounces back, but, man, that was a killer.
One more from Bill on the U of I. He mentions U of I Atlanta League text line. He says Illinois seemed to lack urgency in the first six games of the year. Do you think that's fair? And there's no doubt that they did have a window of improvement post Purdue, Nebraska, then on into Wisconsin, Maryland, Iowa. You lost two of those three games, but you throw in offensively against Indiana. You've documented how it is pretty concerning what the defense finished out with, but. Did you get – what do you make of that first half of the
year?
That
was super, super disappointing. I hate to say lack of urgency, although I can understand why a fan would look at it and be like, dude, we're getting blown out by teams we shouldn't get blown out by. And so I understand that comes across as lack of urgency. To me, it just looked like the offensive line was just broken. Mm. I mean, nothing you could call could actually work because there was so much pressure, so many penalties. It was a revolving door between who was going to play guards that week, right? And so I don't know if it was lack of urgency. I think the players would tell you they were ready to play. They were focused on everything, and I think the coaches were coaching hard and players were playing hard. I just think we were broken, and we didn't have a defense, broken offensive line-wise, and we didn't have a defense we could rely on. And your turnover margin. Guys, the turnover margin was the killer this whole year. That was a huge issue, and on close games, it swung the difference. And on games where you should have been close and you don't win the turnover by two or three, you get beat badly.
Jay, I want to ask you this as we go ahead. What was lost by not going to a bowl game this year? Now, I think that one good thing is what Brett Bielema has been able to do in the last 24 hours with recruiting. You look at Andrew Dennis, the four-star offensive lineman out of Michigan, is the highest-ranked recruit he's landed since being here at Illinois. And then also you got the JUCO pass rusher, Daniel Brown, who I believe has 17.5 sacks, which leads junior college. Yeah. So to be able to land those commitments post a loss and a disappointing reality of not going to a bowl game does help you, and maybe it forms or constructs our answer a little bit. But kind of as you evaluate it, what was lost by going 5-7 versus getting that last win.
I mean, some people don't think it's that big of a deal. I think it's a bigger deal because it shows consistency. We're trying to build a consistent winner. You're going to a bowl game. I think playing time and relationships are critical as well. Let's not forget. Let's bring back the 2005 Penn State game, which has got a lot of airtime the last two or three weeks, by the way. Vontae Davis and Juice Williams committed that night. On a 63-10 beat down. So what were they doing? You've got to paint the picture like Ron Zook did, who recruited off of back-to-back two-win seasons to have one of the best recruiting classes in 2007 that brought in Aurelius Ben. They brought in Vontae Davis the year before and Juice Williams the year before. They brought in Corey Legit in 2008. Guys, they brought in players to Champaign, Illinois, and it wasn't because we were consistent winners. They painted a vision. They developed players sometimes. They got the right guys on the bus, and I think if Brett can do that and sell playing time, for sure, right? So I think it matters? Yes, but do I think it's the end all be all? No.
What do you think the path forward is to getting back to bowl eligibility next year? Would you have like a wish list as the staff goes into the transfer portal and goes into maybe JUCO?
Yeah.
Maybe bringing certain guys back that are already in the program. What's the path forward, you think, to getting back?
I think bowl eligibility is the big question. I see 309 text in says the refs aren't the problem. two of the 3 years going 5-7 is. So you talk about bowl eligibility. Speaking of the text line, guys, if you will text in and say, I'm going to get the fried pickles at Long Branch this week, and if we can get three people to do that before the Jay Layman hour at 4 o'clock Central is done, Donnie is going to give you those free pickles, okay? So you want free pickles. You've been thinking, you've been on the fence about Downtown Eclectic Gifford's Long Branch Steakhouse. You gotta text in, get your free fried pickles, come for the fried pickles, stay for the steak, okay? But we got to have you text in. I'm just giving you a little boost right now. You got about 23 minutes left on my clock to get that done. But to answer your question now, Kyle, okay, which is, what do we need to do? Obviously, it all starts up front. Everybody's going after interior defensive linemen. They are really hot right now, right? With everybody. And they always are. They're hard to find. So I think interior defensive linemen, especially if you lose Keith as well, it looks like we're losing Keith, okay? So Keith and Johnny are gone. I think Gabe Backus moves down into the interior line. I think Denzel Dax, who's got one more year, will be solid. So I think you got to get defensive linemen. I think you got to win on as an offensive lineman. I'm not sure if Dennis can play next year, but he adds more depth for sure. We didn't have much depth at all this year. I think you got to add, you know, your two offensive tackles are gone, Adams and Pearl. You got to get some offensive tackles. And for goodness sake, we got to get some DBs that can play now. And specifically, we got to get a DB that can play the nickel position. People forget that the nickel position is really, really difficult. A lot of times on our defense currently, we have five down linemen, one linebacker, and a nickel, then four DBs, which a nickel is a DB. It's the fifth DB, hence the name nickel. But I would say this is the nickel is targeted so much on third down because they're on the slot receiver at the number two or number three receiver. And that's that receiver is oftentimes the best player. Think Isaiah Williams. It can go inside, outside, vertical. Or if I'm on the corner, I'm kind of on an island. I have the boundary helping me out. So we got to get somebody that can play nickel. We've got to have somebody interior defensive lineman. And of course, the offensive tackle position. I like building around Altmyer and Caden Fagan. I think Pat Bryant can be good too. I think Tip Ryman might want to put on 30 pounds to become a tackle. Don't think about that. I mean, yeah, he can catch the ball. We got Tanner Arkin and Boyer. Is it Boyer or Boyder? Boyer. Henry Boyer.
Yeah.
I played with Brett Boyder, who was a tight end as well, but I get those names mixed up after years. But I think Tim Ryman could be a tackle. I'd not say he wasn't a good offensive weapon this year, but he could. As I'm just trying to think outside the box, how do we create that stuff? He's definitely got the frame. He's a big guy.
We've heard the news as far as Johnny Newton going to the draft. No surprise there. Projected first-round pick. If not, possibly ESPN recently had him in the top 10. Keith Randolph's decision to also declare for the draft. What did you make of that? Is he making the right decision in your viewpoint?
I mean, Keith's been in college a long time, so he's 5 years in. He might just be done, right? I mean, he's probably got his degree and been going to class. A lot of these decisions are all of his friends are going to be gone. Everybody he comes in with, this is really the last of the Lovey Smith stalwarts kind of going out. I know there's a couple here and there, Tip and Pat and whatnot, but this is kind of the last of these guys going through, and we're going to see if Brett's guys have developed and whatnot and when they recruit. I think, so from that emotional perspective of, hey, his friends are moving on, he came back another year as it already was, I can understand why he's doing that. I think from a health perspective and production perspective, he's been banged up since the Nebraska game with a high ankle sprain. Has not been himself. I think he's gutted out. I think he's played well for being banged up. I think it would serve him well for another year in college, just like Johnny Newton, who I was kind of a third or fourth round pick last year. Right. And he just has elevated his game like crazy and made himself a ton more money. I think that could possibly be Keith Randolph. So, but there's all kind of reasons guys make decisions. He probably has his reasons.
Going to still await the NFL draft news regarding stay or go with Isaiah Williams. How huge is that one for Illinois, and what do you make of that one in terms of what you think Isaiah should do and what do you think the staff will be trying to say to him in the coming weeks?
Well, I think Isaiah is a special player. I also think that they've recruited fairly well behind him with Kenari Wilcher and Hank Beatty. I think that they basically play the same position, and those guys are kind of – held off the field. I think if Isaiah Williams comes back, you might lose one of those guys because they're not going to get the reps that they need. So there's going to be a chain reaction on if Isaiah leaves or not. Obviously, Isaiah, I believe, should be an all Big Ten player. If they pick two or three receivers, it would probably be him and Marvin Harrison, maybe Roman Wilson, though Roman Wilson's numbers aren't great at all. I mean, he catches lots of touchdowns, but that's about it. So, yeah, you have an all Big Ten receiver. Yeah, you want him back. I think he does a lot for the program. But, and I think it would help speed up the evolution of Illinois turning into a passing offense, which we saw a little bit under John Paddock.
I wonder, as a fan, if you're a fan out there, I think a lot of people are probably going to sit there and say, can Isaiah have a better season on paper? I don't know. Is that possible? I'm not going to put it past him to maybe clean up some of the turnovers, and maybe he is just going to be that much better with another season of getting acclimated together. Hasn't played a ton of wide receiver, but when you have a 1,000-yard season, you're an all-Big Ten receiver in a league that has good ones, it might just be the right time for his stock.
It could be the right time. I would say here's a guy that honestly has gotten better every year. So would he continue to get better? Possibly. We've also seen guys that have not been able to get the kind of, you know, results the next year. So it might be the right time for him to go. Only he would know. I think they're going to have they'll probably have a discussion this week on what that looks like. But he certainly would be a boon to this football team if they got him back.
Mm-hmm. Kyle, what do you think Isaiah should do?
I'd love to have that guy back. 1,000 yards?
Yeah.
All Big Ten first teamer? That's going to be a huge one.
Well, we got some people commenting here. Right, 217 says, hey, thank God the lack of RBs took the handcuffs off Bielema ball. I think there's a desire for people to see Illinois throw the rock a little bit more, right? Yeah. I mean, just like you were saying, Pipes, right? So Big Def says, I promise I'm not out on Brett. The good recruit news the last 24 hours is proof he can get us there. I'm just so crushed with respect to the coaching this year. Now, I will say this. Watching Illinois football is a lot like playing golf if you're bad. You know, if you're really bad at golf, you're just super frustrated like I am. I lost like 4 or 5 balls and whatnot. And if I go after go play at 18 holes, I might hit one good shot. I'm like, I'm back. It's kind of like Illinois football. It's like you hit one good shot, you know, you get a recruit. You're like, okay, I'm a fan.
Me and you should play around sometime because we sound like we're pretty similar.
Right? And you're like, okay, I could actually do this. I could actually do this. It's kind of like Illinois football. Okay, they got it. AJ Dennis or whatever, you know. He's the real deal. Blah, blah, blah. It's the lack of consistency. And here's the deal. We all love Illinois football. That's why we're here. We can't change that. So we're just trying to make sure that somehow we have the success that we're. I still think Brett's the guy, but they certainly were way below expectations this year, and there's no way around that. You got to admit, when you look at the season, if you say you're 5-7, that's a disappointment.
How much are you going to miss the Big Ten West next year?
Oh man, here I mean, a lot of people say, "Hey, I'm going to miss."
We all say that as a joke, right?
Yeah, we say it as a joke. I like the close games, but. You know, I'll go back to when I played when, you know, 1983 team, they played every team in the Big Ten. Penn State, not Penn State because they weren't in there, but every other Big Ten team. We played Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State in 2007. Nobody felt bad for us. I mean, I always laugh at the schedules here. 2007, we played Missouri, became a top 10 team, had 11 wins. We also played Wisconsin, who at that point, Brett Bielema had them rolling a 15-game winning streak, longest one in the nation. They were fifth in the nation. We played a ranked Penn State team. We played a ranked Michigan team. We played number one, the Ohio State. And we probably played the most talented team in college football in USC. So I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad for these guys. Like, oh, my gosh. It's so I played against all these guys. I got beat by some of them. But it is what it is. Like, I don't feel bad. Like, this is football. Like, you signed up to play major college football. So I think they're probably looking forward to it, you know. So I don't feel bad for it. I feel bad for people that don't actually use our sponsors for business, which is Iroquois Federal. Iroquois Federal is your one-stop shop for all your lending needs, especially commercial loans. Bob Guido's my man. Ryan Lowry, Mark McHale, Brenda Crane. They are awesome at Iroquois Federal, located in Savoy and in Champaign at the crossing of Windsor and Duncan. Kyle Lewis for all your insurance needs, auto, home, life, habitational. Kyle at ipgins.com. That's Kyle at ipgins.com. Just as I told you to email Kyle for a quote, tell him Jay Layman sent you. I'm telling you to text in to the text line to get your free pickles. I got one guy, 309, says he doesn't like pickles. Okay, I'll count that as one text, all right? But I need two more to say that. I need two more to say that you want pickles. So we can, guys, you got to try the fried pickles at Long Branch Steakhouse. Come for the fried pickles. Stay for the steak. Open 5 to 9 Wednesday through Saturday. Donnie cooks up your steaks himself. It's the best. You got to try it out.
We got to catch a break, but Jay, I'll say this. If anyone truly is going to miss the Big Ten West, I think you're sick. It's not for in the large
yes.
poor in large part it's the bad. Last it's not good football.
It's bad ball. I think I wouldn't be surprised if the TV networks were like, dude, we got to get some better teams in here because this is bad ball. Throw in Washington, Oregon, USC, and UCLA. Get rid of the division. So There we go.
You think Kirk Ferentz is going to miss it?
Yeah. See, is that the worst 10-2 team you've seen in a while? I mean, they're really good defensively. Don't get me wrong. They've had their injuries.
They've had the most wins of any team like ever who hasn't like averaged 250 yards or less. Like they've had like two averaging 235 a game. I mean, it's remarkable how they find ways to win. But they don't turn it over. They don't have penalties, and they just play defense. That's about it.
That Iowa-Nebraska game on Friday was almost gouge your eyes out.
It's just so Iowa, though. It's gross. It's so Iowa.
It is.
How about Lindy, though, in Champaign before we go to break? He says, Pickles, sign me up. We need one more. Let's go, Lindy. He's a regular. Let's go, a.k.a. Pork Chop.
I will say Illinois only beat one of the other Big Ten West teams this year.
That's bad ball. What, Minnesota?
Minnesota. Lost to Nebraska, lost to Wisconsin, lost to Purdue. Lost to Iowa, lost to Northwestern.
We were thinking we were the best team in the West.
Yeah.
The mild, mild West, as I like to call it.
It is no more, thank God. Let's ask Jay what Illinois needs to do to be able to survive the brave new world that's coming to the Big Ten with Washington, with Oregon, with UCLA, USC. Any other questions you have? I think this is the season finale, the wrap up of the Jay Lehman Hour. Is it not?
Well, it's actually not. I'm actually here all through December
because
we thought we were going to a bowl game. So now we're just going to talk about Michigan and what they've been doing or not doing. We're going to talk about college football. We might even talk about the Bears if they could keep going around. But I'm actually here through January through the national title game. So what? Guys, you know,
I'm not trying to shoo you away. I was just trying to make sure people. Got every ounce of Jay Lehman we can get, but
I know basketball season is really upon us right now. It gets pipes and bad hoops, you know. He's a hoops guy, guys, so I understand.
I'll miss you next Monday. I'll be out in New York.
Well, so is Lon gonna be back or just be a Kyle?
Lon better be here.
You guys miss more Mondays than I miss. My goodness, it's like I'm going to New York. Lon's in Florida. Donnie shows up more than anybody.
Don't rope me in with him. Lon is in a special breed of missing shows right now. He'll be gone all week. He's in Florida.
All right.
We got to catch one more break. Come back. Hit us up 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Any last questions for Jay? We'll talk maybe Illinois going forward, but also Michigan, Ohio State over the weekend and all other happenings across college football. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champagne, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars. They're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champagne. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
With the leaves and temperatures beginning to fall, it's time to make sure those furnaces are in great running order. Get that furnace tuned up so it doesn't let you down on the cold nights. Dogtown is the people's choice number one HVAC company again in 2023. Ask about the current 0% financing offer on all Lennox high comfort systems and single component units for qualifying applicants. The number's 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
The hammering, the sawing, the drilling, all the sounds of the workplace are music to our ears. You can be a part of construction projects, large and small, as a Carpenters Local 243 member. Learn to excel with apprentice and journeyman training. Members enjoy all the benefits this internationally recognized union has to offer. It's a life-changing decision. Join the Local 243 family tradition. Contact Carpenters Local 243 at 217-356-5463.
The Urbana Indoor Aquatic Center is selling passes to the indoor pool 50% off. December 4th through the 8th, visit the Indoor Aquatic Center at 102 East Michigan in Urbana. Buy passes for admission to the pool for lap swimming or the winter break public swim sessions. Open for public swim December 20th through January 3rd from 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. Punch cards are a great way for families and groups to enjoy the pool for a discount. To learn more, visit urbanaparks.org.
Like every bank, there's a time every day when we stop making loans. But at Iroquois Federal, we never stop making a difference. Thanks to an amazing team of employees who give back to their local communities all over Central Illinois. From hospital boards and local school programs to Kiwanis and the United Way, Iroquois Federal employees donated more than 1,000 volunteer hours last year. And we'll do it again next year, because the only thing we like more than making a loan is making a difference. Iroquois Federal. Still friendly, still local, still here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Here's what somebody recently said at Pards in Urbana. I was there just a few minutes, and somebody came up and asked if I needed help. And they were incredible, helped me find the size of boot I needed, and then I bought a second pair too. Everything was friendly, everything was excellent. Visit Pards in Urbana, 206 North Maple, between Main and University in Urbana. It's Pards Western Shop since 1968. Or go online and visit Pards.com, Pards.com.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, although Marcus says it should be the drive riding solo with Derek. No Lante. We could throw Kyle in there, although maybe he needs to get his degree first.
The Derek drive.
The Derek drive. Yeah, let's do that. I'm good with it. Anyways, it's the Jay Lehman Hour. That takes precedence. And 217 sent a kind text in. Jay, please don't hit the portal. You've been a great addition to our show, and we definitely... And thank you to the sponsors as well that make this thing happen. Donnie in the house. Which we greatly appreciate. So.
Yeah, the sponsors, Donnie, Iroquois Federal, Kyle Lewis at IPG Insurance, they really do make it happen. They provide what it takes to get this show done every Monday during the college football season.
Let's talk about the game, Jay. Michigan gets it again, their third straight win over Ryan Day and company. There's some mutterings, or they might not even be, they might be louder than mutterings on Twitter. I think it was Maurice Claret that said, sorry, Ryan Day, you're my boy, but you got to go when you lose three straight to Michigan. So the Wolverines get it done 30-24. What'd you make of that game? And should Ryan Day think at all about his job?
Yeah, okay. So for the game, I thought Ohio State would play better, but I think Kyle McCord got exposed. Just he wasn't good enough to beat Michigan. Although they had C.J. Stroud last year, they still couldn't beat Michigan, right?
True.
So... I thought Ohio State was healthy and they were playing better than Michigan was playing. J.J. McCarthy had been banged up, wasn't playing great. The thing about Michigan is they don't really have just a freak athlete superstar. I mean, Blake Corum's good. I don't think he's going to break records in the NFL. I think Roman Wilson's good. I think they're probably their best, one of their best all-around players is their tight end, Colston Loveland. I think he's a good football player. I think they're really solid up front, but they don't have a guy that you're like, dude, this is Aiden Hutchinson, or this is Jabril Peppers, or this is Charles Woodson. I mean, I don't see that guy on this football team. They're just a really well-coached and prepared football team. We don't know why they're so prepared. Maybe it was because of the scouting and whatnot. Now, you say maybe that wasn't even an issue for this game because they just felt like they were in control that entire game from that first pick on, and then really just, you know, in critical situations, 3-for-3 on fourth down. They did a halfback pass from midfield at a critical time. Ryan Day played more conservative, and then they drove the ball, you know, with 8 minutes left, they drove the ball for 7 minutes and got a field goal, reminiscent of what we did to Ohio State, kind of trying to play keep away as we did in 2007. So that was the game. But as far as Ryan Day getting fired, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, the guy's 39-3 against Big Ten opponents.
Oh, my gosh.
But the three losses have been against Michigan.
Yeah.
And so he's like, it's pretty startling when you look at it. My question is, okay, you fire Ryan Day. Who do you hire? Like, is there some big name out there that you're like, this is the guy we got to hire? Urban ain't walking through those doors.
No.
There's really not a ton of big names out there. Elko just got hired by Texas A&M. Jonathan Smith from Oregon State, who was an alum of Oregon State, got nabbed by Michigan State. I mean, who else are you going to go hire that you think this is like the guy?
It's a good question.
I don't know.
What's his name in Oregon? Already says he's staying put.
Lanning?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he said, what, 2 good years? I mean, maybe Kalen DeBoer. the Washington coach. He's done some really good stuff. He had 11 wins last year, 12 wins this year. But above Ryan Day, who I think is an elite coach in this league, definitely elite recruiter. I mean, they're number two in recruiting. They've out-recruited Michigan each of the last 10 years, I think, other than maybe 1 year. Still just getting their boat raced, though, by Michigan. So, you know.
Maybe Chris Peterson wants to give another go.
Chris, I think he's one of the best coaches ever. I mean, you look at what he did at Boise State. Jonathan Smith was his OC at Washington when they were really good. And Peterson still has some time. I just don't know if Peterson would get back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Urban Meyer is walking through those doors anytime soon. Although Urban had quite the record against Michigan, 7-0, which he'll be remembered for a very, very long time. So I think you look at all of college football, you're just like, man, I don't think you could replace Ryan Day with a better coach. What are you going to have, some Jimbo Fisher situation and a buyout for $74 million?
Yeah.
So
Mel Tucker's available.
Mel Tucker may not coach college football again. Let's just put it that way. I think he'll probably go to the NFL. You're now, Pat Fitzgerald is available. And I think that Pat Fitzgerald, obviously they're both fired for off-the-field stuff. It seems me that Pat Fitzgerald seems more palatable. I hate to use palatable as any kind of word, but it doesn't seem to be as ostracized maybe as Mel Tucker is. I could see him possibly coaching in college again, although I could also see him being the head coach of the Packers.
Because there's probably more deniability when it comes to Fitzgerald, right?
I think
less
so. Yeah, like
ability to prove direct knowledge or involvement.
Well, and the third party law firm said that he didn't know, but should have known more.
Yeah, right.
So I think you're kind of just like, okay, do I think Pat Fitzgerald could be another D coordinator for USC? Sure, if he wanted to. I think he's kind of a head coach guy at this point. He's been a head coach for 15 years. I think he's going to try to take it. Could Indiana hire
him? Maybe he'll fill the seat of Jim Leonard. Jim Leonard goes to USC, and the Fitzgerald spends a year as the special advisor to Illinois defensively.
That would be great. I think John Hollisett could be a good guy for that. John Hollisett, you
know. We keep hearing his name year in and year out. Whenever there's an opening on defense, they mention two names, Jay Layman and John Hollisett.
Both are not walking through that door anytime soon, right? So I
don't know. You tell me.
I don't know what I would bring to the table, number one. But number two, I mean, I'd have to miss the drive too.
Oh, we don't need that.
That'd be hitting the transfer portal.
He's off the.
And then number two is, Hollisett, great high school coach, knows the Catholic League inside and out. And I think, at the end of the day, we've got to really figure out how we're going to make this defense better. I think Hollisett has a chance to do that.
Last one for you, Jay. Is there any chance Iowa competes or beats Michigan in the Big Ten title game?
I don't think there's much of a chance that they do. I guess there's always a chance. So you're saying there's a chance, right? I don't think there's much of a chance. I would say it's going to be closer than most people think just because that's how Iowa plays. I can see the game being something like 20-3 and not feel that close.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's going to be like 42-0. I just don't see that happening against an Iowa team.
Jay, the sponsors deserve one more shout-out before we let you go.
Yep, Iroquois Federal for all your linen needs. Bob Guido, Mark McHale, Brenda Crane, and Ryan Lowry. And then, of course, Kyle Lewis at kyle@ipgins.com. That's kyle@ipgins.com. Can I get one more text, though?
We need it. One more.
One more text for the fried pickles at Long Branch Steakhouse. We had 309 text in. We had Pork Lindy. Chop Lindy text in. If I get one more text, you guys,
free fried pickles.
You guys yourself who are texting, not everybody on the show, but you guys who have texted in with the pickles, you're going to get free fried pickles. You're going to come for the fried pickles, stay for the steak at beautiful downtown eclectic Gifford at Long Branch Steakhouse.
Jay, thanks as always. Look forward to talking to you next week and throughout the month of December.
Yeah, buddy. Let's go.
We'll be back after this. This is The Drive.